I was thinking as we heard the first reading, the departure of Paul and the response of the people, they were all weeping loudly as they threw their arms around Paul and kissed him, for they were deeply distressed that he had said that they would never see his face again. I'll bet some of you, maybe all of you, have experienced some taste of that. It's so beautiful when there are those who are consecrated, which always has two dimensions, as Pope Benedict taught us. He has a beautiful section in his second volume of Jesus of Nazareth on Holy Week on this high priestly prayer that we hear throughout this week from John 17. Consecration is always from and for. From the world, consecrated out of the world, consecrated, united to God, taken from the world, but then always for the sake of. We're not simply drawn out of the world, even simply for our own sake, but consecrated from the world for the sake of the people. And when God's consecrated people are able to receive his word and speak his word, the people whose hearts have also been consecrated in their own way through baptism hear, and they are so grateful to receive that word from us. But I wanted to focus on the last verse in the gospel. I consecrate myself for them, so that they also may be consecrated in truth. That verse which focuses us on the love that Jesus has for us. That love which is, of course, fully revealed on the cross and represented in our celebration of the Eucharist. That love which is so superabundant. And I'll make an invitation and also a self-revelation. I've taken up the practice now for several years for my daily lectio, which I always bring into my holy hour. I just take the gospel of the day, and I always start with a simple question. How do I see God's love for me in this passage? And it has a number of helpful effects. One is that it personalizes the passage for me. There's always a danger in doing lectio that it becomes about how am I going to preach on this passage? What's the homily I'm going to create from it? Or that I get kind of lost. I get fascinated with Scripture. How does this interconnect? What does this word mean? I have some fun little apps on my phone, you know, that I can look up the Greek word and find out where else it is and how many times it occurs and play all kinds of fun Scripture games with that. I'm a nerd, and I like those things. But to take that simple question, how do I see God's love for me in this passage, focuses for the sake of prayer on the Scripture in a way that it draws me in personally. And then it's the right tone, too, to start with the love of God. Now, what often happens with me is that as I experience God's love for me, it makes me want to give more. So I don't need to start with the challenge. The challenge tends to come on its own when I recognize what a gift he's given me in the priesthood. What a gift he's given me in faith, in being open to his voice, being able to hear him. But to focus with that perspective. So to take this gospel, as I was doing earlier today, I admit, and that verse, I consecrate myself for them so that they also may be consecrated in truth. Our consecration is a consequence. He did it first. And that's the way that we always need him to lead us and to look to his example. We need to receive love in order to give it. Pope Benedict, in a homily I discovered from Austria, he spoke at a shrine that I visited there last fall. He pointed out the simple fact that love is not created. Love is simply given and received. Received and given. And so we have to receive in order to give. There's nothing selfish about praying with the gospel in this way. There's nothing selfish about placing us before God's love for us. Because we can't do what we're called to do. We can't live out our consecration unless we receive his consecration. Unless we receive the outpouring of his love from the cross. A love that never ends. A love that never says enough. A love that gives itself radically to us. And we could ask a further question if we think that we're being too selfish. Is there ever a point that we've received too much love? Has anybody ever been filled up with too much love? Have we ever emptied the cross of love like you know, his tank ran out. I got to give him some space to build up some more love. I haven't begun to receive the love that he pours out in superabundance from his heart from the cross. And as I'm more and more filled, all of those empty spaces, I heard a beautiful description of purgatory. There's a mystic that said, purgatory is the place where all of the empty places in us are filled with love. And that's the truth. There are so many empty places, so many points in our lives, in our history, so many areas in our hearts where we're resistant, where we feel unworthy, where we've been closed off, we don't want to be indebted, and we make these kinds of cysts, and we create just a space that needs to be filled with love. And the exposure of that is a little painful. Oh, you're gonna love me there. Oh, that hurts so good. Thank you. And that's what purgatory is like. Actually, Catherine of Genoa even described purgatory in a way like that. It hurts so good. There's a sweetness that pervades all of the souls in purgatory because they are really receiving love, and it commingles with the pain that's there because it's all those places that we've resisted that love, that we've kept out that love. But allowing ourselves to be filled more and more with his love is precisely what he wants to do, and it's what becomes necessary for us to live out our consecration most fully. I consecrate myself for them so that they also may be consecrated in truth. This is what the Lord wants to do with us. And so as we come before that infinite font of love in this Eucharist, and as we open ourselves to it, so that we can also go back to our people, go back to the places that God has given us and pour that out in abundance in a way that continues to increase. It's the amazing thing. It's not a zero-sum game with God because he is love, and so that font of love continues to increase. But as we open those floodgates in our own hearts in this Eucharist, let us make a space for him to fill us completely, to reconsecrate us by us receiving the consecration he has made for us.